At 6 p.m., I open the study session for Board Director of the Colorado City Metropolitan District, March 25th, 2025. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, first item was the underwriter engagement agreement. Carolyn sent an explanation to the board as to why and what's the purpose of it, and there is no cost to us at all. It's just to get numbers together, just in case we have to do a bond or something in that fashion for the payoff for the DAP and even the...
So we are talking about municipal bonds?
Yes.
Okay.
Just kind of like what you did with the, back in 2012 when they did the water plant.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Though, as you mentioned the last meeting, the main reason for that is to be able to upfront the money for the grants.
If we needed to do it.
And we still will have the ability to go after grants. He's going to give us a year to go after grants?
Yes. There will be a rider within the bonds that say that we can pay it back early if we end up getting the grants and money for it.
So just for a clarification, what we're talking about here is it's kind of like a word problem in high school math class.
Mm-hmm.
How many Colorado City residents are going to pay how much of a water bill to pay back a bond?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things we're going to have to talk about. I mean, we can okay this agreement, but we're still going to have, that's a heck of a saddle to put on the Colorado City rate.
Which in that gives us those numbers as to what we're going to have to raise our bills to,
right,
that kind of stuff,
yeah,
if we wanted to go that way. But it does, we don't pay anything until it closed as a bond if we went that way.
Right, I understand that.
So simply, this agreement is all.
It's all housework. Paperwork to get to that point to see what it would cost us if we self-financed it, or if we're going through grants and bonds or through USDA and WSRF.
All right, board? All right, let's go ahead, Jim.
Okay, next on the agenda we have Resolution 14-2024. I know Neil and Clip were working on it. You have a paper that they brought in, just here, or Neil brought in. I'll let it turn it over to you, Neil.
We discussed different issues. One of the kind of big thing came out of that was that we really need to make notice to the public and give the public plenty of time to be able to recognize what we're doing. And really be upfront about trying to use this as a tool. We had a good discussion. Clint, go ahead.
Well, it's not a good discussion. We've been discussing it for I don't know how long. But I do agree with Neil that if we're going to try to implement anything, we need to have a long grace period where we communicate up front everything that we plan to do and have a designated date. I think we need to clarify what exactly we're going to do after that. But I think the agreement, one part of the agreement was that we definitely need to communicate better with the community in every way, shape, and form. Let them know it's coming and give a grace period, and maybe some people will see that fines are coming and deal with stuff themselves before they ever get a letter. I do think anything we do put out to the public needs to be, you know, stipulated that it's complaint based only. And then it also applies to units 1 through 45.
So of the literature that you have, I guess that one sheet is kind of ideas of how we notify the public, and the process of notifying the public needs to be extensive. As Clint and I talked about, it needs to go into the paper, it needs to go on Facebook, it needs to be published in as many places as we can find to let people know what we're doing and really be upfront about it.
And it's going through the
procedure or the guidelines that Bob gave us, I did change some things that I thought the fines were extraordinary or a little bit high, and we needed more than 15 days from the first courtesy letter to correct the situation. 15 days isn't very long if you're on vacation or gone to do that. And one of the things I'd like to bring up, really, it's consistency to the covenants and how we're going to get consistency with a volunteer architectural committee that quits whenever they feel like, or when they hear something that they don't like from the board. The board makes a decision,
well,
and they don't like it, they just up and leave, or go to the media. Maybe we can look at somewhere down the road getting a full-time compliance officer that would deal with covenant enforcements, road permit access, and design review.
That, yes, we discussed that. That's it. And that is, that would actually take some weight off of the office of receiving complaints and calls, and would end up being a significant job.
If you had a full-time person answering phone calls for covenants, you don't think that would be helpful?
No.
Okay.
No, what I'm saying is the money-wise. That's my point. You're talking about a position that there's no available funds for.
Currently. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of down the road.
It would have to be subsidized either by property tax or whatever to do that.
I just, we're going to jump through a bunch of hoops and try to be consistent and fair with covenants. Having an up volunteer board that comes and goes isn't the way to do it. That's just my opinion.
Ray?
One of the things that dawned on me this last week was that our enforcement seems to be, we don't seem to have a level of gravity for covenant violations. So for example, if you've got the wrong trash can, it's the same covenant violation fine structure as if you're living in a container, a portable container. So it seems to me like we may be wanting to think about coming up with levels of violations that are, really, are we going to worry about trash cans and weeds and wood piles? To just make sure that we're dovetailing with our partners in the county. We're talking about, from my perspective, we're talking about safety issues. Is that a covenant fine that's the same as if you painted your house the wrong color?
So we did discuss that.
Okay.
And that, boy, that lies, and I think that it comes down to any violation is a violation.
Yeah.
And we should receive the complaint, but we have to have the wisdom, for whatever that is, to make a decision on which ones we choose to enforce and which we don't. And if we choose to enforce it, it has the same gravity as any other that we choose to enforce. And I am relying heavily on the business judgment rule, because if there's a whole bunch of stuff that we just would need to take the position that it's not worth the CCACC's time, nor in the best interest of the citizens of Colorado City to enforce it. So that I agree with you as far as gravity, though I think that would be taken care of by the wisdom of the board to either process enforcement or not.
Well, that's, I know, but if you talk about law enforcement, I mean, if you even just talk about motor vehicle violations, there are levels of gravity in terms of enforcement and fines. I mean, they're just, if you sideswipe a car and leave the scene of an accident, it's way different than if you get a parking ticket. I mean, it's just different. One's more serious. One's, like, for example, my example of people living in containers and grilling their food on a October night when it hasn't rained for a month, that's dangerous. And that's a heck of a lot worse than if my neighbor's got a wood pile in the backyard that I don't like.
I think, unfortunately, that almost all of the covenants that we actually have would fall into that neighbor with the wood pile. We don't have a covenant that attacks the container.
When we talk about in our covenants about form and appurtenances, well, yeah, and square footage, we're talking about those things.
And other structures.
I'm sure I could be corrected on this, but that's in almost every covenant that there is in Colorado City.
The residence is supposed to come first. I don't know that we have any power to enforce that. But that's correct.
Well, it's a covenant.
To Ray's point, and there may be a covenant violation, but that should solely be dealt with by law enforcement. You can't expect a volunteer to go out there and serve some kind of papers on somebody that's camping out in the woods. That's not going to end well.
That guy's camping behind our houses over there. I wouldn't go serve him papers. I can tell you that right now.
Well, that lady that was killed, they called about a violation for dogs, and the officer said it was too muddy. So he didn't go out there.
I think a bunch of this, of course, is dependent on encouraging the county to react as well.
We have to have the county.
We can enforce covenants that are rather minor.
One of the things that I look at is, you know, we're working this as a group. You know, we're trying to get the county involved and other districts like Pueblo West, Boone, whatever, all together to force the county to do something. I think in the same aspect of it, we need to kind of have a strategic plan as counties or as districts to say, okay, this is what our plan is and this is how we're going to go about it. I know right now with Pueblo West, they're set up as a $500 fine, but if you get your stuff done within that 45 days or whatever, they'll give forgiveness on that. So that $500 fine is now only a $100 fine because you didn't listen to the first two letters and we had to move it to the next. And then after the 45 days, it goes another $500.
But they're not using the county for any of that enforcement.
Well, they got rid of their architectural committee, too.
They did? News to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, news to me.
Yeah, they were sued.
Yeah, the architectural committee idea is horrible. It was from the very get-go. May I, please?
Go ahead.
So, this whole thing, guys, is opening up a can of worms that is just never going to work. And I hate saying never, but the best bet we got here is exactly what Jim said. In my opinion, the very best bet is that all the communities get together with the county and we start enforcing this stuff. The business judgment rule, Neil, is just a snake in the grass way of saying we can get around stuff. That's all it is. It's not even it's just a horrible thing to even think about. Well, we're not going to enforce these because business judgment rule says we really don't need to because it's not important. But we're going to enforce this over here because we feel like it's important. But the problem is who's making those rules? Who's the person feeling that it's important? Either it's written in law or it's not. I mean, the whole purpose of us being tried by 12 peers and a jury, okay, was to stop stuff like this. This to me is just a horrible, horrible idea, guys. You're going to open up a can of worms that just, I don't see it working.
So we, to start with, it's not, for covenants, it's not law, it's contract.
It's contract. You're absolutely
and
right.
If we don't at least do our job, how can we expect the county to do theirs? There are some things the county cannot attack that we can.
If we didn't have any covenants, and this is an if, which I hate ifs, but if we didn't have any covenants at all here, okay, the county would still be obligated to do the rules and regulations that we have set up for the county. And the communities have not held the county to their positions. The other thing about the county doing it is the county's not going to go after silly stuff like trash cans. Okay? They're not going to go after that. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the ability to go after that. Okay? They're going to go after the big fish. That's what they're going to go after, which is what all of us want gone. Okay? None of us want this guy down here, any of these guys camping. Okay? None of us want that. That's what all of us want gone, is these people that are camping, that are all over our community, that are breaking the housing laws. All of us. There might be one out of 1,000 that disagrees with us, but the vast majority of us want that gone.
We also, the little fish is what we ought to be, where we feel like it's for the betterment of the citizens of Colorado City, we ought to be dealing with the little fish. And there are things like that that happen that the neighbors would like to have corrected.
But how can you tell somebody to put their trash can away when there's somebody living in a camper next to them that burns their trash and doesn't follow any of the laws?
I would absolutely agree about trash cans. There's
the chickens, the
violation
trash cans,
things that the neighbors have a right to expect us to
pile of wood
to help with.
No, it's even like you brought up with the chickens. That isn't something that we should be enforcing. It's, you have the right, as long as it's cleaned up, and if it becomes a health issue, then it goes to the health department.
Yeah.
As the neighbor being able to complain at that point.
We don't want somebody opening up their auto mechanics business in their driveway next to your house. And that becomes a covenant issue that the county will not go after.
As long as he cuts me a break on changing my brakes, I'll take my vehicle over to him.
I like it better than the guy next door in the camper that doesn't have a job.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Neil. I really do. But at the same time, though, if I'm really that upset about the guy next door to me opening up a mechanics business in his garage, then I got a $100 option to take him to small claims court and get that shut down.
So okay. Are you proposing we just abandon covenants?
Not all.
That okay. we have to have some kind of a process.
I think that the development covenants are good. Okay? But I think that the enforcement covenants, we don't need to abandon them because you can't abandon covenants. But we can turn enforcement over to the community.
Which opens us up, if we don't enforce it, opens up us up to liability for not enforcing them. Ray?
The meeting that we had with the county on March 3rd, the first thing that came out of their mouths was this house bill. About couldn't we do something with this house bill? So while maybe the covenants, we don't want to think of the covenants as an enforcement piece, they think, the bureaucrats, they think that we should be thinking about that. So I think there's got to be some middle ground where we can come together and say, we think this needs to be done, we're working on it, will you help us? I think that's what we have to do, and I think you're right. I think we have got to gel with the other communities. But that was one of the first, do you remember? Mm-hmm. One of the first things that popped out was mm-hmm. House Bill something 2024.
That was the first thing.
Yeah, that's what.
Well, it was because they want to pass the buck.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's the whole reason why they brought that up. But the county has got the real center of funds. Okay? They've got the money. We don't.
They also have the court. We don't. So
they also have the county sheriff that we don't.
But they have to go through civil action in the courts in front of a judge to take any kind of action, which means we need to get after them to get that started, because that can take 3 to 4 years. And that's, or longer.
The wheels of justice are slower than all
ours. Our abilities can be rather immediate. They don't have that option. We do. I am not willing to give up on the covenants. I think that we have covenants that we need to show the county we're doing our job of tackling the smaller stuff that they can't. We need to let them do it.
Let me throw a scenario at you then. Let's say we notify the community, we let everybody know that we're going to start this fine structure, and we get 35 complaints, and most of them are trivial. There might be a couple that are about the serious issues, what I consider serious issues. There might be a couple of those, but most of them are about things that maybe even we don't even have control over, like barking dogs, or we don't want to be in control of, like chickens. What are we going to do?
Well, that's, in fact, really, I'm going to limit this discussion because we just go round and round. But that is actually described in this procedure, is that at that point, we depend on the Architects Advisory Committee to make recommendations to us, and if it's trivial, they probably would recommend that we don't process it, we don't pursue the enforcement. Now, we could, even if they recommended we do pursue enforcement, we could decide not to. We could actually still decide not to enforce that. And it's a position nobody wants.
I have one idea how you can do it. You make the architectural committee responsible. You give them the power to do this. You make the board now as the appeals process to, if they feel that the committee is in the wrong, it comes to the board, and you only deal with the issues that are appealable.
The only problem with that is we don't have an architectural committee.
Except us.
But that's what I'm saying, is you make the advisory committee as the person the entity to review and go that way, and then turn around and make the board now back to the way it should be as an appeals board, that you make that choice, because they've went through 2 steps now, so going into court, it's a lot easier to say, well, no, this is, they did this, it went to now the board, and the board is agreeing with them as saying, yeah, you are out of line with covenants.
And that is, actually, that's spelled out in this. Everybody should read this.
Okay.
And make comments on it. I mean, well, let's...
Can I ask one real quick question of an audience member?
What?
Can I ask one real quick question of an audience member?
Sure.
So, I'm going to pose a question to you, okay?
Good.
They send you out a letter telling you you're in violation of a covenant, mm-hmm. okay? And you've got 3 or 4 neighbors down the road that are also in violation of covenants, but they don't get any letters. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what the covenant is. Mm-hmm. Guys are all in violation of covenants, but they're coming after you mm-hmm. because they don't like Mr. Dennis, okay? Because you get underneath their skin and you irritate them, okay? Now, you probably got a little bit of spare cash. You probably don't want to spend it on lawyers, but you probably would if they piss you off enough, okay? Because I know I would, okay? So they irritate you enough, and you go after them. Mm-hmm. Would you do that?
Sure would.
Now,
consistency of purpose.
How in the world are we going to defend that in court and not bankrupt this district? That's all of the questions I have.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Clint made a comment earlier that he wanted consistency, I believe.
Yeah.
In this process. But yet, in another breath, you said something about the board being selective on what you're going to enforce. How can you have both?
You can't.
You can't. You're going to get sued.
Yeah, the business rule to me, and I've always said this, is selective enforcement.
You're plainly going to get sued if you're going to do that, going down that road.
It's subjective. And that's part of the problem. And, you know, this bill, that the primary reason I voted for it was to keep, because according to what I understand, to be able to do design review, we still have to go through this procedure. We still have to have...
And design review is a good thing.
Complaint process. That's what I didn't want to lose, and I also didn't want to get on the bad side of the state when we're applying for grants and loans from them. Now, I have contacted the senator that voted for this. What's his name out of Pueblo? After 2 months...
Neely.
Yeah. After 2 months of not answering me, he referred me to his research team. And after another month of that, the research team told me to contact the Metro attorney for an answer on what the consequences are if we don't follow House Bill 241267. So nobody knows. The guy that voted for it couldn't even answer the question.
We have gotten numerous opinions from our attorney in the past that I suspect most of the people on this board don't remember or aren't aware of, about the validity of the business judgment rule and ways to, like you said, selectively enforce covenants. And that we have, that is a legal option.
I know
there is liability.
Carolyn has said that we can use the business judgment rule, but I think that's going to lead us to damnation fairly quickly.
We have to.
That's just my opinion.
Okay.
I don't have any further questions.
We've been at this for almost half an hour. Read this procedure thing. Read the... Clint, did you have a suggested verbiage to put into...
No, I started to, Bill, but then I realized that we didn't know what we were going to enforce, and when we were going to enforce it, and who was going to enforce it.
Okay, so if you would, if you'd read both of these and mark them up, come up with ideas.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on, Jim.
Okay, next, wages for certifications. If you turn to page 21 in our handbook, this is our new one now. We went back and forth and went back and forth. We just haven't adopted it yet because we've got little things like this that we need to take care of. So pay increases by hour. And I don't know if, Gary, are you on Zoom, Gary?
Earth to Gary.
I got somebody there, but I don't know whether it's him or not. I have one that's me, and I have one that's CCMDS. That could be Gary. But anyway, it shows our pay scale as to collections. If you look at it, distribution, it's like 12.5 cents.
Yeah.
Which I think we need to look at that as more as a dollar and then go the opposite way. Mm-hmm. As you get your distributions 2, maybe 75 cents, and then distribution 3 would be your 50 cents, you know, so that it don't bankrupt us, because the collections and distribution is more for your outside workers. Mm-hmm. Whereas now when you start working into the plants, if they do the collections 1 and 2, collections and distribution, they end up getting their sewer and water, which that's 50 cents, it should be probably a dollar for each one.
May I make a suggestion, Mr.
Go ahead, please do.
Why don't you just bring us a plan back?
Okay, that's fine.
What do you guys think about
you
that?
You want me to and put it all out and I'll get with Gary, and this way we have exactly...
Better feel for it than we do, because these numbers are silly.
It is, and that's why I'm trying to say this is one of the things that we need to to change.
So even to the point, Jim, that is, which one is more valuable?
15 cents an hour?
Huh?
Which one's more valuable?
Which one's more valuable? Probably the D and the C.
Why?
Because that is where you have more of the enforcement letters and your testings and things through the plant. And to run our plant, you need at least a B operator license for water. And for sewer, we need what, an A?
An A.
So what?
Gary
so
has an A, and he also has the B water side, doesn't he?
He has the A water, B sewer, but we need an A.
That's why we use
these tests to get them started. You give them a little bit of incentive to, all right, I can do this. But these tests and the years that they have to put in and studying are intense. It's not me sitting down for 8 months and studying a book. That's not the way it goes.
So which is the higher license? Is it the A is the higher license?
The A yes. is the
and
top.
The, and
the
3 top. Is the highest collection? No. The highest license on the...
No. They changed that. There is a number 4, which Gary has, which they never put into giving him getting his collections, number 4.
But number 4 then is the highest highest license?
In collections, yes.
Okay.
But A, as an operator, as an orc, A, then B, then C, then D. But as far as collections, he went through and made number 4.
So the value of collection and distribution 1 and the value of water sewer D,
there's a big
how much
problem.
Value to us?
Oh, it could be.
It's a big jump.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's a good idea for a presentation to us.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And I'll give it to Gary. I just want to make you guys aware that this is what's going to happen. And you're also looking at increases in wages and stuff down the road.
May I, real quick?
Go ahead.
So I realize that you're kind of a kindred soul when you're a tightwad, like I am, okay? But at the same time, though, you need to look, in my opinion, you need to look at their contributing value to the metro. Because if those are going to be important to us, then quite frankly, well, the 15 cents is absurd. But quite frankly, I think the dollar is too little.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's kind of absurd, too, but to be honest with you.
But it's a stepping stone.
Well...
Okay, Sarah?
Once again, we need to think about their value to us, because if their value to us is worth more than a buck an hour, which I'm betting that it is, then it needs to reflect such.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what will happen is we'll get these people tested, okay, and they will...
Oh, yeah.
They'll go somewhere else.
Oh, definitely.
And then we're back to square one.
Yeah.
Sarah, what'd you have?
That's what I was going to say, what Greg said. You want to keep them, because you spent all this money training them. It's much better than starting over with somebody to give somebody a decent raise.
Clint, I saw you about
work
to speak.
On that, and we'll come back to the board with a proposal as to where we want to go.
Part of compensation just needs to be fairly close to what other areas are paying, or we're going to lose people right and left.
Oh,
yeah.
And I've seen that where we've had operators in other big areas that they ended up getting their C or B and end up going to Pueblo or something because
they're going to get paid more.
They're going to get a 25% higher raise or something compared to Pueblo.
What's next, Jim?
Signing bonus.
Yeah. Okay, next. Excuse me. Setting date for public hearing. Like you said, with all of this stuff with our personnel policy, and also we have changes with the road access and stuff. Also with
thank you.
Our taps. I'm going through it as we, Sarah and Ray, sat down and we looked at some of the stuff in it. I'm going to pull it together so that way we can set up a public hearing. Probably I'll end up doing that. Oh shit, it'll probably be May that we'll have a public hearing. Because by the time I gather all the information for our rules and regs to get together,
so
Carolyn will look at it.
Yeah, she's going to have to kind of help us with putting it in the rules and regs, right? Because there's going to be a new position for
it. New sections. And the other thing is like I said, you know, how far do you want to go with this 14 or 2414 or whatever it is to, because that's going to either affect your CCAC, your however you want to work it.
We need to set a date though, Jim. Let's get a tentative date set to, so that we can start planning, working for it.
You want to look at the first meeting in May with our new members coming in or our new directors coming in?
We better give them some time.
Well, you ought to do it with the new directors because we're not, you know, me and Sarah aren't going to have any effect on this.
But we need to give them some time to for us to go through a discussion and to consider it. So I'd say the end of May.
Both of them are here tonight.
I'm so trying.
They're coming in and they've talked to me. I know Bob's came in and went through resolutions over the last 2 years. He's even looked at that road resolution that we passed.
With the old road.
So are you suggesting then the 13th you said?
Yeah, that would be the.
That'd be the second. That'd be the first meeting in May.
Yeah.
Either the 13th or the
last one.
13th or the 27th.
Yeah. Probably the 27th. Let them get their feet wet.
That's the day after Memorial Day.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I board.
Put it down.
Sounds good.
Okay.
You don't care. Huh?
May 27th.
I was going to say, sounds great to me.
May 27th? Yeah. I'll give it to Carolyn on all that and have everything one time.
Yeah, because we'll need to put some power on her to get it done by
then.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. The exit for county roundtable. Neil, that was something you put on here, and you had somebody.
So this roundtable, one of the things, again, Clint and I discussed, is that, and I think everybody agrees, is that we need to continue to put consistent pressure on the county to actually get these roundtable discussions going quarterly. And having a liaison, having somebody to go to the roundtable meeting and work with the board, I think we probably all agree is pretty important. Terry Krause volunteered for that. I think that I would suggest that we accept him as a roundtable representative, as a liaison. It could be anybody. It could be a board member. It could be anybody. But having somebody that's outside the board maybe would be wiser than having somebody inside. And anyway, Terry has offered, I'd suggest him. Go ahead, Ray.
I think I would prefer to have somebody who's not on the board, because somebody who's not on the board can communicate with all the board members, whereas somebody who's on the board cannot.
I agree.
I had one other call from another person, was Jake. Burnick.
Burnick.
Burnick, yeah. That also was interested in the position too, or as a volunteer. There's two of them there. Yeah.
This actually, for Terry to be the liaison, doesn't necessarily mean he would be part of the Architectural Advisory Committee, but he would be working both directions. He would be basically a reporter, or whoever would do it would be a reporter to go back and forth between them.
And he was on it before when he was the chair.
That sounds like a great idea to me.
And he's offered. He's willing to do it. Clint? Okay. All right. Let's move on. Shell, I don't know if we need to take action on that, do we?
No.
Okay, Dan.
Until we get them to agree to a meeting and set up that meeting, then at that point we could send it to the...
Well, I think what I will do is, if it's okay with the board, I will tell Terry that, yes, that we would appreciate his help there, and ask if he wouldn't communicate, he knows the commissioners, if he would communicate with the commissioners and kind of keep up to date on the roundtable and put some pressure on continuous going.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, you have CCAAC reviews. You have a shed, a garage extension, and a house. I put the whole packet in the book for you guys, so...
I like it.
Okay. I don't know if there was any questions, concerns, issues.
And board, do you have any questions and see any problems? Okay.
Be good, but no.
Okay. Here we go. In order for the business of the board to be conducted in the most effective and expeditious manner, it is necessary that all persons present maintain a demeanor of civility toward the board, staff, and each other. Conduct that appears threatening or aggressive will not be tolerated. Shouting, speaking out of order, or the use of offensive gestures similarly are not acceptable. Such behaviors will constitute the forfeiture of your right to remain in attendance and may, as a point of order brought to the board's attention by counsel or any board member, including a chairperson, result in your being asked to leave the meeting by the chairperson or, upon your refusal, being escorted out of the meeting by the proper authority. Do we have anybody that wants to talk?
No.
Nobody was saying.
Anybody that wants to speak? You want to? Go ahead, Don.
I have a recommendation.
You got a solution?
No. Oh, okay. I have the solution. Okay. The covenants. Everybody's knocking the covenants and wondering what to do and what not to do with them. As the board, the next time we have some kind of an election or whatever you want to call it, where everybody has a say-so in what's going to happen, why not put it on the thing to do away with all of the covenants in Colorado City?
Can't.
What do you mean you can't?
It's not in our power, bud. I would have already recommended that years ago.
Okay, everybody keeps saying, okay, all you got to do is have 50% plus one.
Oh, you're talking holding an election.
Community-wide vote to get...
Yeah, community-wide vote. Why?
This man right here has actually done it, so he could answer that question.
You've done that?
So, we changed covenants. But you cannot get rid of covenants because they run with the land. There's no governing body that can make them go away.
You can change them to nothing.
Well, okay. Change them to nothing then.
Well, you can't change them to nothing. You can't change them.
There's got to be some way.
Well, you were able to change them.
We were able to change them. We were able to change some minor parts of it, but that doesn't get rid of them. We changed some square footage requirements and some building appurtenance requirements. But we lived in a very small unit, 70 lots. We got a majority of the lot holders to vote for the change, and we changed it. Now, unit one or some of these gargantuan units, no.
A lot of the lot owners are deceased. Like, yeah. They can't even get a hold of them. And yeah. You have to have, like, whoever that lot is, you have to have them vote. You can't have somebody vote if you... I write letters to people that own lots all the time.
Where I was told was it was 50% of the respondents.
To change a covenant.
Plus one.
If there's 1,000 units in one, or lots in one unit,
yeah. You
have to have 501 people respond if there's 1,000.
Okay, that's not what I'd heard, but okay.
Yeah. But like you said, they only had 70, so it was easier to...
There's got to be some way to change this. And I mean...
I think that bears checking on as to whether if you notify each individual lot owner and if they don't respond, if that's considered a vote or not. That might, you were checking on. Now, so, but your point is each, so what we would have to do is we'd have to have a vote for each unit individually. So of the 40 units, you'd have to have a ballot for each.
Why can't you word it where they're all, it's encompassing their respective unit. I mean, word it somehow like that.
So, point well taken.
And then come back with the major things that you guys want to enforce.
I think that the whole thing is onerous, but if we hear you, I'm going to check on the vote issue, but we hear you. I think that maybe it would be easier to incorporate. But that's a different discussion altogether.
Do they go away then?
Yes.
You just said they can't go away.
Well, they don't go away, actually, but we create our own rules and regulations at that point.
That's what I'm recommending, create your own of the ones that really count.
So I,
Become anyway, a home rule city like Rye.
Yeah, point taken. Thanks.
I bombed it. Okay, go back.
Then you're not a special district.
That would actually be easier to do, would be to become a home rule city like Rye is. Yeah. But that's still a big undertaking.
Okay, we're going to close this discussion. We'll close the study session, open a record meeting, board director, Colorado City, Tuesday, March 25th at 6:50. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you join in a moment of silent reflection, if you so choose. Thank you. Let the minutes show that we have a full quorum, all board members present. Can I get approval of the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? How about approval of the minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for study session March 11th, 2025, and CCACC minutes March 11th, 2025.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Bills payable.
I make a motion that we approve the bills.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion.
Just the gas bill at the clubhouse.
Yeah, that's been ridiculous.
I did it for you.
Good, thank you. That is high.
It's
and windows are ordered.
So here's what I'm going to say. My gas bill for February was also high.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but my gas bill in June is going to be low, and I would expect that bill to be low also.
Then cycles.
One question I have is Acorn Petroleum. I guess I kind of been glancing over that, but a lot of fuel. We burn a lot of fuel, apparently. I noticed there's not a golf course.
Not yet.
Why?
That's coming next time.
For the golf course fuel?
They were just there.
Because they failed, I think they failed at the beginning of the year, didn't they?
They did.
Last Thursday.
Okay.
They were just here last week.
All right.
Now it's going to be that they come in on a regular basis to fill once a week.
Okay. Because it's busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I have. Anybody else?
You running a fever?
Yeah.
I know.
Looking pretty good. Well, I'm not happy about all these payments, but...
I would like to note that we didn't pay A Square very much this last month.
I noted that. Yes,
it was like $300 or something.
Yeah, $200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah, that's good. There's some other pretty big ones, but I recognize them.
Nobody even caught the $185,000.
Oh, we caught it.
It hasn't been sent yet.
Yeah,
because we write the check, hold it, send it to the mineral grant, They see that we wrote the check, and then they send us the money.
Yeah, so we're going to get that back right away, huh?
Yeah.
It doesn't go out.
I vote yes, we pay the bills.
You'll call a question. Then. Is that what you said? All right, let's vote. Clint?
Yes.
Sarah? Chair votes yes.
Yes.
Greg? Ray?
Yes.
All right, let's pay the bills. Financial report.
Okay, I put in there the summary for water and sewer for this year starting out, and also the last 2 years since we had the rate change in 2024 to show the difference in where we're at.
So. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then also you have all the bank accounts that are reconciled, and also percentages on what we've collected and what we're spending on each department.
Board, questions? We have we are collecting more. We need to be careful we're utilizing it with help.
We are.
Okay, Board?
Just the idea that once again, if we go to bonds,
yes,
that's where that's going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And is that enough?
No.
So what type of bonds are we looking at giving?
They're municipal.
Yeah, I know. What type of an amount?
That's where we're going to look at.
Worst case scenario?
Yeah, worst case scenario to...
17 case. Million?
Yep.
Worst case scenario?
Yep.
All right, anything else about financials? Okay, let's move ahead, Jim.
Okay, next... there is some communication from the, skip operational report. Yeah,
let's do the operational.
Operational Lake Beckwith, as for 312, 320, Lake went from 14 to 14.4, and it's at 14.5 right now.
And what's our limit?
14.5, which I've already talked to Mr. Perry about allowing us to go to 15.5, our max again, since we are doing all the monitoring and everything that we are to keep going, and that they should have the BDR and stuff here this month. That's what Tracy keeps telling me, so but that's where we're at. So all of your readings are similar as to that, and also with our piezometer, there has been no big change or notice of any change with the rise of the length, the half a foot.
Okay.
Okay. You do have some communication from lawyer. We did get permission to go on the ranch. Greg, I, Aiden, and Gary will probably do it on Monday at 9 o'clock is when we're set. I've talked with Ty, and also he's got in contact with Deanna. So,
is this a one-day deal?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Can we get it done in one day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as far as water samples, yes, sir.
Okay.
And then we're...
But while we're there...
We're going to try
to... I got to do a lot of snooping. I mean, not snooping, but I got to look around.
We did find another valve that we tried this yesterday. And
we found... Yes, we did find... Jim and I sat here and looked at plans for hours. And we finally seen another line. We did find the valve, and
we shut it down. So.
And so, if I don't know, after this, I'm out of, I don't know.
Well, okay, I can't really say anything.
Well, if they're still getting water from us and we've shut off all the valves, the only solution is to go along any lines that are surrounding that ranch. And
I don't have maps of that, Mr. Collins. I'm going off of what I have and what I've been told from past people. And
probably a lot of them that did that stuff probably aren't even alive anymore.
No, they're not. But
or they have dementia.
Jim and I sat here for 3 hours going over maps, and we finally found this one, and it's not very, it says this is where it goes. Well, we went over there and we found the damn thing. Excuse me, the darn thing. Shut it down. I don't know. But after this, I have no idea.
So, Jim, what day?
We're going to do the Monday on the 31st.
31st at 9 o'clock.
Because they won't even know where the lines are. So, we'll be doing some witching and other things to try and locate where everything's at.
Boy, ground penetrating radar.
I wish.
We had that much money.
Hey.
Okay.
Next, all I got agenda items. Underwriter engagement agreement.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the underwriter engagement agreement as discussed.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion, questions? I think we've questioned that adequately. Let's vote. Sarah?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. Ray?
Yes.
All right, let's deal with CCAAC.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we group and approve CCACC 5157 Hicklin Drive Shed, 7230 next door to me, garage extension, Terlesa Drive, 4671 Cumming Street House.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Questions, discussion from board? In our efforts to minimize, I guess, the HUD homes, this one appears not to be.
It says it's stick built.
So, all right, let's vote. Clint?
Yes.
Sarah?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
No, Ray, I said.
Oh, Ray.
But okay, yes. Greg?
Yes.
Okay, chair votes yes.
Why'd you skip? Just out of curiosity.
I gotta
take advantage of my hearing loss.
I gotta mix it up.
No action items for CCAC. Going to old business. Well, they're still working on it. Ranch water, we just went over that. Meter change out. I know we've added a couple of new meters. I don't know whether there's any of them that have been changed yet. We did have a break this afternoon that they've been working on since this morning up there on Bob's Road. It goes
Bob's Road.
Yeah, you know where the black blazer is parked in the middle of that road that goes up. We have our main line that ties tank 3 and tank 4 together, and it broke, so they were fixing it today. Water loss, we figured we lost about 150,000 gallons.
We figured 110,000 gallons in an hour and a half.
What, with that leak?
Yeah. No, it was a break.
The break, but that's where you lost it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was about 110,000 gallons in an hour and a half before we could get it shut down.
I did meet with Mr. Beshaver on Camelot and Rosemont. He did have it staked. I went out, took pictures of showing, so we will have to be sending them letters as to that they are encroaching on our land. They are encroaching on other people's lands, too.
So we can trespass them? Is that what we can do?
That's one of the things that I'm going to talk to Neil, and because I know we had another case that we had this situation, and I have a template that I can go off of from Carolyn to send out the letter that they can move their stuff and get it off, or
we can remove it.
Can we borrow their letterhead if we're using their letter?
Well, it was our letterhead. She wrote the
It was letter. The one that had all those barns or all the sheds and stuff on our property.
Yeah.
Well, and also the one that did the fence, didn't it?
Yeah. So we have a template to go by, and we can send that out. See if we get an answer. If not, then we'll go the next step.
In answer to your question, as far as can we trespass them, yes. According to the unfortunate, whether you want to trust that or not, according to the deputies, that we can remove their trespassed items immediately.
That's what I thought.
Without even any notice.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah, because once we trespass them, we can just go out there and remove the stuff.
But we want to be proactive with it and not create a war. So anyway, that's moving forward on that. That's good.
Now we're talking my language.
So,
one thought, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
If we're going to have municipal bonds, we better be able to tell people where our water's going.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're making any progress on the meters in Applewood, and we're still showing a discrepancy between billable and produced.
What is the tentative start date for Applewood?
They try and get one or two or three during the week when they don't have anything going on.
See, I think it's time for some goal setting there because we need to get five done a week or four done a week or some number done a week. Unless we start, I don't know, maybe we have to bring somebody in with a little overtime or something. I don't know. I know you hate that, quoting Mr. Collins, because you're a skinflint. But we need to do that.
I haven't heard that one for years.
That's the first time
I thought you said that.
No, I didn't say skinflint. I said tightwad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been called a lot of things.
I misquoted you.
That comes from.
Oh, he's revealing his age now. So.
I'll cough for that.
So what would be reasonable, Jim?
I do not know. I'll get with Aiden and I'll make sure he's.
Well,
next.
Yeah, get with.
I couldn't get him with.
Because he sat here and told us that he thought they could handle it.
Yeah, and the thing is he would have probably been here today, but he had the break to get there.
Yeah, I understand they're busy. If we start talking about it in terms of maybe we have to pay a few extra hours and get it done. And pick the low-hanging fruit first.
And I think they've done most of the low-hanging
fruit. Is that right?
Now it's having to shut off a block at a time and try and get 5 or 6 meters in.
Okay.
How many meters still need to be changed out?
There's, I think, 96...
Is it under 90 now?
Yeah.
So what would be reasonable? I mean, we need to set a number and then ask him and let him respond if it's not reasonable. But could we set a number of, like Ray said, 5 or 6? Could we set a number of 5 a week and have it something they could accomplish if it's reasonable?
That's
because
they know more than I do.
Public relations-wise, when you're going to go out into the financial sector and start trying to market these bonds, you're going to have an interest rate problem if you're shady.
If
we don't look good on paper, if we look like we're losing a bunch of water somewhere, not that we are, but if it looks like that, we're going to have to ramp up the interest rate on those bonds to make them desirable for investors.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's not good for ratepayers either.
Yeah, that's.
I agree.
Dovetails nicely into the water audit.
Yeah.
Where's that at?
I don't know. I didn't talk to Josh this week. I'll talk to him tomorrow and find out where they're at.
Would you propose to Aiden that we set a goal of 5 per week and let him respond?
Okay.
That if that's not reasonable, we need to know it.
Okay. Yep, we can do that.
Does but, that make sense, Ray?
Yeah.
Now, may I make a suggestion, though?
Go ahead.
So what I do with everybody that works for me when I have them set the goal is make sure that you explain to him that if he sets the goal, that's what we expect out of him. Mm-hmm. You know, barring,
yep. Okay.
You know, so that he understands to set the goal at a reasonable level.
Because I know, you know, like this week is your meter read week to catch those 97 meters, which we've taken it down to where now they can almost do it in about a day, one day, and catch all the ones that we do count manual or automatic read. So I know there's that week that, and then you have situations like this where you have a break and stuff that it's going to screw up that.
But he can average it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you're going to have to say, as an average, we need to do 5 a week.
Yeah. 2 a week, or whatever it comes out to. Yeah.
Any new business, Jim?
No, I don't have any.
New business board?
No, sir.
No correspondence? Okay.
I make a motion at this time that we dismiss the meeting.
Second.
Move to second. We're adjourned.
Don't leave.
Oh, my goodness.
There isn't that many tonight. So.
Oh, good.